There is a Creator, and there's no denying that. And God even tells us in His Word that man has no excuse not to believe in God, because God is all around us. The evidence of God is all around us. Man can come up with all kinds of ideas. We know evolution and the Big Bang Theory and multiple other things that are being taught today. Man has distorted many of God's evidence of Himself just to prove their point. And they have to go at lengths to do that, when all it takes is a simple turning to God's Word, and you can see a lot of it, how it took place, written by men of God who received those words to write from God Himself, the only one who was there. So, back to our topic here. I titled this Global Warming / Climate Change or Man's Sin. Which is it? The doctrines of devils known as global warming and climate change have become popular today with a world of people who know not God and His promises. You understand that? The world, and it's not just today, of course, but the world has never known God. Not since the fall of Adam and Eve, when man first sinned and began to exhibit his own free will, to totally ignore God, basically, is what free will is. Man has refused God, even with all the evidence out there, and with God telling us in His own Word that He's there. Man still denies Him. And these doctrines, and that's what they are, they're doctrines of a false religion. The false religion of humanism. False religion of Satan. Global warming and climate change. Nothing more than to distract us from God and God's Word. Nations will tax their citizens trillions of dollars. Watch our own government, not just those around the world, but watch our own government and how many trillions of dollars they spend every year. You know, used to we thought billions of dollars was getting way up there. That's nothing now. It's in the trillions of dollars now that our government, and whether it's on the state or the local level all the way up to the federal level, is spending trillions of dollars or taxing the citizens. Why do you think our taxes keep going up? Well, the popular thing that they're spending tax money on now is global warming and climate change. They're trying to reverse what man has done to the earth, or that's their claim. And they're trying to defend something they have no control over. That's been proven. You know, yes, we know for many generations man polluted the air. We can see, I wasn't in this area when the steel mills were up and going, and that's been many generations ago, but a few generations back. And the one in Ashland was about to close when I first came to this area 10 or 12 years ago. They were about to close, so it wasn't the heyday of that one even. So I've not seen the pollution that others have seen in this area. I've seen it. I can remember growing up in Texas, when you would drive from East Texas to Dallas, you could see the pollution, the smog, as we called it then, over Dallas. You could see it from a distance, from the factories. It's not so much now. You know, you go there today and it's not that way. And so it is around other large cities around our nation. You don't see it as much anymore. But in men's wickedness and in their sin and in their way of getting away from the things of God, part of the problem with that pollution was because of that. We're taught in God's Word to be good stewards of the land, and we're going to look at that today as the starting point for this. I wasn't intending for this to be a series, but we're going to look at the rest of it, hopefully, next weekend. Next Sunday we'll finish this up. But God gave the command to Adam that he would have dominion over the earth and his descendants. We see it again with Noah. We see it again with Abraham. And it just goes on down the line. But the one thing, and people try to, I know there's all kinds of conspiracies out there and everything, but God, we've got to remember, we talk about the weather today. Who controls the weather? God does. God makes it clear in His Word, He controls the weather. He controls the wind and the waves and the weather. And does man have any control over those things? If he does, it would only be because God has permitted it. But God says He controls the wind. And we'll look next time, not today, but we'll look in the New Testament at Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 2, where it talks about Satan being the prince and the power of the air. We'll look at that at a different time, or next time. But just know, Satan is not in control of the world. God is. The things that Satan does in this world are only done by him because God has permitted him to do it. Does that mean we blame God for what Satan does? No, we can't. Satan is the one to blame. You know, you have to give credit where credit's due. And oftentimes, what God permits Satan to do is brought upon us by our own sin. And so it's accredited to ourselves. But God makes it clear in His Word that He controls the weather. The problem is man has failed at his job of being a good steward and what God has entrusted him with. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to spend most of our time today in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, and this is at the end of the creation. Remember, man was created on the last day of the creation, day 6. I said 28, but let's back up to verse 26. That's where I should have started. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." That means control. That means power over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. There's your answer for the multiple genders. There's only two. There are multiple genders. There's two. Two is multiple. Male and female, he says. Whatever else they claim is out there is a... You talk about... They accuse us of being conspiracy theorists. But they're the conspiracy theorists in all reality. Because if you claim that a person can be whatever gender they think they want to be, that's a conspiracy against God. And so they're the conspiracy theorists. Don't fall into that trap of them calling you a conspiracy theorist because you believe the truth. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Every animal, every creature, man is supposed to have dominion over. "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." So He also has dominion over the herbs of the field and the trees and the fruit trees. And to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And so God tells man, you have dominion over all these things. All of God's creation we have dominion over. Let's back up. Let's talk about Adam and Eve first. Adam and Eve had dominion over all these things. Then, in chapter 2, God gives Adam and Eve dominion over, or God sets aside the Garden of Eden. And he talks about the Garden of Eden. We're not going to read all of the story of the Garden of Eden, but the place, this is the place where man was to dwell at that time. In verses, let's look at verses 15 through 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, there thou shalt surely die. So God gives a command that man is to take care of the Garden of Eden. Now, we think about sin, and we think about all the aspects of sin. Pruning trees and keeping a garden is not, originally, it was not a sin. You know, it was not part of sin. Just because the tree overgrows for what we want, that's natural. That God put that in those plants. And we think, well, it's a sin for that tree to do that, but it's really not. God designed it that way. It was man who sinned. It's a sin to man now, or it seems to be sin to man, because man has to work a little bit to trim it. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But God gives man his first job. And what is his first job? To be a gardener or a farmer, whatever you want to call it. You know, the first occupation is that of a farmer, not of a prostitute. The world will tell you, and I've heard this all my life. I've even heard preachers talk about this, that the oldest occupation in the world is prostitution. That's not true. Where they get that from, I have no idea. That's another one of man's lies against God's word, because right here we see God's oldest occupation for man is as a farmer or a gardener, whichever you want to call it. It falls under the same principle as a farmer. The popular so we see that from the very beginning, God's plan was for man to be the steward of the earth, the husbandman. You know, we read all throughout the scripture, especially when you get to the four gospels with Christ, and how often does Christ talk about a husbandman? You know, the keeper of a vineyard usually is who he's talking about. We see other men even in the Old Testament that were farmers. Remember David? David was a shepherd. That's a type of farmer. Abraham had flocks and herds of cattle, and and the children of Israel, you know, in the law, God taught them how to grow crops, and maybe we'll look at that next time. But there's multiple references to agriculture and to farming in the Old Testament, and even those things, and with those things, God explained to them how the seasons were going to work. We talked a little bit about that last time in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, but the times and the seasons, God taught man when to plant, when to harvest. Even if you want to get down to it, he went into detail even and told him how, like with wheat or with grapes, what they were to look like when it was time to harvest them. Are these things that, you know, according to Modern man, those are things that man, over a period of time through evolution, figured out. Why would that be when we know in Genesis God made it clear to man, and you know, Adam being the first man, you think Adam would have known those things? Well, he was a tiller of the ground, it tells us, and it tells us that he was a farmer. So yes, he would have known those things. How? Because God taught him. There was nobody else there to teach him but God. Did he figure it out on his own? There's no evidence of that. We don't know, but there's no evidence of that. Now, so we see from the very beginning God's plan was for man to be the steward of the earth. But what happened? When did man lose control of his stewardship? Or did he? Many in religion today will tell you the man lost his control or his stewardship to Satan. But that's not necessarily true. Satan is in control of a lot of things today. But man is still commanded by God to be a good steward. Not just of our money or our own life, but we're to be a good steward of the earth, of whatever God gives us. The Bible bears out that man did not lose his dominion over the earth, but he lost control to Satan when man exercised his free will in the Garden of Eden and ate of the forbidden fruit and sinned against God for the first time. Let me clarify that. He lost control to Satan. Remember, Satan came in, he tempted Eve. Eve, some want to say Eve was the first to sin, but remember Adam, all men after Adam, all the whole human race comes through the seed, through the bloodline of Adam. And Adam purposely, because of his love for Eve or whatever the deal was, it was against God, he was the one who sinned. He was the one who carried, it was his sin, and the Bible bears this out, that it was Adam's sin that flows through our veins today. It is through him that sin passed down through all the generations of man. But by sinning, man, Adam, it gave, Satan was kicked out of heaven with his fallen angels. Where did they go? They went to earth. Why? To persuade men not to follow God. They were here. Satan thinks today even that he can take control and that he can overpower God somehow. Us as God's children, we think about that, and that just boggles our mind, that why would anybody, and especially someone who was there, at least we know he was there shortly after creation, after man was created, because he's there in the garden with Adam and Eve, so he knows the truth. But what makes him think that he can overpower God? It's pride. Man, how many men do we know? How many people do we know that have the same pride in them? They think that they are more powerful than God. And how oftentimes are we the same way? You know, we need to think about that. But back to the stewardship of man. Man, the stewardship of the earth was never taken from man. Satan has deceived man and made him think that it has been. But we're still in charge here, under God, of course. It is our duty to take care of what God has given us. How does this all tie into the title of our message, Global Warming and Climate Change? We're talking about man's sin, remember? And global warming and climate change has come about because of man's sin. Whichever way you want to look at it. If you want to look at it on the fact that our governments around the world have blown it way out of proportion and are robbing the public blind because of all that, that's part of man's sin. But we also know that, we talked about the pollution earlier, man, for a long period of time, man didn't care. Why do they care now? Well, my thought on that is that man thinks that he can reverse what he has done. I don't think it's possible. You can stop and slow down, but the world keeps turning, the world keeps going, and a lot of the pollution that has taken place is irreversible. You may can fix a little bit of it, but not totally. And because of man's sins, whether it's their past sins or current, whatever, we see changes in our climate. But do we really? I mean, we can all, if you ever studied history at all, you know that these things come around every so many years. We're seeing cold weather now, literally cold weather for this part of the country. We've seen it for a few weeks now. But it hasn't been, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that some of our own government officials were predicting that by this time in history, that the earth was, there was not going to be any cold air anymore. There was not going to be any snow caps on the poles. And yet, the last few years, from what I'm understanding from reliable sources, reliable scientists, the polar ice caps are not any worse off than they were a few years ago. There are some years they actually grow. Other years they shrink. But that's been the way it's been all along. The main point to all of this, I think, is we shouldn't be upset when people are talking about climate change and global warming. We shouldn't be so upset about that part of it. What we should be upset about is the fact that they're going overboard with it, and they're taxing us way more than they should. We're seeing there's taxes on our gasoline now if you go to the pumps. I forget where it was now, somewhere we were at recently where we stopped and got gas. They had the breakdown of where each amount of tax went that's on the gas. And it's amazing how much tax is because of the environment, what they call the problems of the environment. There are things that don't make any sense today. You know, they're pushing for solar power, but they use coal power plants to build the solar panels. They go out to build a solar, set up a few of the solar panels, and they got to have trucks to get out there, and they got to have equipment to run to put them up, and they all run off diesel fuel. There's a lot of common sense that is just being avoided in a lot of this. So, but we need to remember, as God's people, where these things come from. Man, yes, man is at fault. Man is accountable for these things because man has not been the steward that he should have been. You look back in the Middle Ages when people were dumping their slop buckets out in the street. You know, in the cities, they'd raise their window at the crack of dawn and pour the slop bucket out, and you just hope that you weren't the guy standing at the bottom, you know. And then they wondered why the plague spread so fast, and they wondered why other diseases spread so fast. There's been other things down through history, you know. An army on the march oftentimes would figure out the hard way that you put your latrine downstream and not upstream from where you're going to be camping, where you're going to have your camp, because if you did, you made everybody sick. It's common sense things like that. And those are things that God, if you go back to God's law, God tells you those things. He told Israel those things. It's man's denial of God that has brought these things about. We as the descendants of Adam and Eve are still commanded to be good stewards of God's creation here on earth. Are we? We don't act like it sometimes, but we are. We are still commanded to be the stewards of God's creation. If you grow a garden, you know, or you take care of your lawn, those are being good stewards of God's creation. If you've got animals, whether it's just a dog or a cat, and you take care of them, you're not going to let them starve. I saw the other day where I guess the Pope over in Rome complained about people who didn't have children but had animals. And he was mostly getting on to those who refuse to have children but will have animals. And I guess he's made some kind of decree now that they ought to be ashamed of themselves. And sadly, he's right. I mean, people who would choose animals over having children, that's not following God's law. That's going against God's law. We're told to replenish the earth, not to abstain when it comes to having families. That doesn't mean that we treat our animals bad and shouldn't have compassion for animals. Doesn't concern that, but you got to use some common sense even there. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, "And unto Adam he said," and this is after the fall, this is when God is laying things out for Adam and Eve and telling them what their new duties are going to be. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." So Adam keeps the same job. He's still the steward of the earth. But now God's cursed the ground, and it's going to produce thistles and thorns and weeds and things that are going to interrupt and make man's job even harder. And if you remember, there's no talk of, back in the Garden of Eden when Adam was there, he wasn't a disgruntled worker. He was happy to serve the Lord. But now we see work is going to become a burden to him. God removed man from the Garden of Eden, but man still had the same job as the farmer. The command God gave Adam in the Garden of Eden now applies to the whole earth outside the Garden of Eden. Remember, Adam was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and God has put cherubims as guards to keep him out. And so the rest of the earth is his to roam. But he's also to continue being a steward. God never takes that from him. Now, instead of man joyfully working to please God in the Garden of Eden, and it was a joy for Adam. It wasn't a burden for him to go and to take care of the pruning and the harvesting of the fruit and whatever else he had to do there. It was a joy to him. He was happy to serve God in that manner. But instead now, work has become a sorrowful burden to man. Our jobs can be grievous, and even in our day, our jobs can be grievous and difficult at times. And many will let their job consume them to the point it destroys their very being. You ever seen somebody who is very disgruntled with their job? It just destroys them. It just changes. I've worked with people who just hated their job, or so they said, but they keep coming back every day. You know, my thought is, if you hate the job so bad, leave. You know, quit making everybody else miserable. But that's how people are sometimes. They're drowning in their sorrow, and they want everybody else to take pity on them. But basically, it's what it is. But we must remember, we will do all things to the glory of God, even our jobs. And the example, go back to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam was a happy camper in those days. He did things according to what God commanded, and he was happy about it. It wasn't until he went against God's command and ate of the forbidden fruit that he suffered. And Adam, it appears as though Adam suffered the rest of his life. And I can't even imagine the thought of what Adam was thinking. For the rest of, you know, he lived a very long time after he left the Garden of Eden. The burden that had to have been on that man because of what he did, and knowing what he did, that just that one denial and that one sin of going against God, eating of the forbidden fruit, not only ruined his life, but ruined the life of every man after him. And I can't help but think that Adam knew that, and he had that burden for the rest of his life. So, how do we know God did not remove dominion of the earth from man after the fall? Go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, and let's see what God told Noah and his sons after the flood. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, under your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. God tells us man still has dominion over all the animals and the creatures right here. And the last verse there talks about the green herb. When the flood was over and they come out of the ark the first time and there was nothing. The animals they had on the ark were the only animals that were on the earth when they first come out. There was nothing that survived, remember? Nothing. God destroyed all living creatures. Except for those, of course, the fish in the sea would have survived, but everything else would have drowned. And we know back earlier in the story, we know that one of the doves came up with an olive branch. So we know plants survived. Some did anyway, at least an olive tree. Or that would not have been possible. Seeds especially would have survived in the ground during that time, during a flood like that. But you see an area after it has flooded, and the next growing season comes around and it's very fruitful. So we know that those things happen. But man, God still gives man dominion over all the earth. He tells him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Replenish the earth with what? Well, we commonly think of, he's telling them to have families. Well, yes, that's true. But what else? The animals, when they turn them loose, he says, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. The animals are going to be scared to death of man after this. And it's God that puts that fear in them. Not man. Nothing really man does. You know, we know Noah and his sons were in charge of the animals on the ark. They were stewards of those animals. They were to take care of them. They were to feed them and take care of them while they were there. And we know they did. They all survived. But when they turn them loose, they're going to have a fear of man. Why? Because now man's going to become a carnivore. He's going to become a hunter of meat. And that's what God tells him. These animals are for you to eat. But man still has dominion. We don't see that change. He still has dominion over the earth. Verse 20, And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Now, I'm going to stop there. I don't want to get into the rest of that story. But he was a husbandman. He was a farmer. Noah began to be, he wasn't in the beginning, it says, but he began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And obviously, the vineyard was grapes because he made wine and drank the wine, and we know the rest of the story there. Like I said, I don't want to get into that today, but so Noah carried on the tradition of his forefather Adam as a farmer. Many of the parables of Jesus and many things Paul wrote of in the New Testament give examples of men being servants. And when I say men, I'm talking about men and women both, okay? Man as a whole. Examples of men being servants and or stewards under the headship of a master. Who is our master? It's God's children. The Lord is. The Lord Himself. So even though God is in control of all things, man has been put in control of things on the earth. And maybe next time we'll see. Maybe next time we'll look at some of the parables that Jesus spoke of, because I think some of those will bear out what we're talking about here. When a man is not a good steward of what the Lord gives him, there are consequences. And God takes things from him. It even affects those around him when he's not a good steward. Yes, we are told multiple times throughout God's Word, He is in control of the winds and the waves and the weather. Remember, there's no mention in the verses we've looked at so far that man has control over the elements of the weather or the seasons. God sets the seasons. We read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 last time. God controls the times and the seasons. Can we do things to affect them? Sure, we know that pollution, we talked about the steel mills earlier, and there's other factories that put out pollution, or that used to anyway, that affected the area around them. We know that, you know, I think we all remember from back in the 70s and 80s the stories of acid rain, and it was a real thing. We may not have known people who had experienced it, but we know the stories of people who did. And there were other things, you know, where was it up in the Cleveland area where they had the river that was so polluted it caught on fire? Other things, such things like that. We hear stories like that from all over the world where pollution was so bad, and still is in some places. That's because of man's sin. The climate and things, God's seasons and His weather have not changed because of God, but it's because of the sin of man. This global warming they talk about, just looking at the evidence that even their so-called professionals or their so-called scientists put forward, when used with a little common sense, you can see that they're not telling the whole truth. I remember reading years ago, there was during the American Revolution, in the I believe it was in about the time of when Washington's army was at Valley Forge, because talking about the brutal winter that they had then, and that wasn't common. They had winters there, but not as brutal as they had that year. And from what I'm understanding, I guess scientists at one time, and not so much now, people won't even talk about it now, but at one time scientists claimed that there was what they called a mini ice age at that time, because it didn't just affect Valley Forge, but it went deep into the south of the U.S. And not just here, it was all over Europe. The winter was really brutal that year. And for a few years around that year, it was that way at winter time. We know from our own lifetimes, some winters are harder than others. Does that mean it's global warming? No. That means that God controlled the weather, you know. Sometimes our summer, we're talking about winter because we're in winter now, but sometimes our summers are hotter than others. Sometimes they're drier than others. Sometimes it seems as though we have no spring and fall. It just goes from winter to summer, you know, or summer to winter. You know, it's different. But global warming, and I've talked about, kind of gone back and forth on this in this message, but there's a there's things that go on that man has done. Man has polluted things that he shouldn't have. My secular job, I'm in the recycling business. It's amazing that the stuff that would normally go in the landfill that we're processing now, and it's not just us. We have other people we know that do the same thing. But man has not been a good steward. Remember, there is no mention. Oh, where he said that. Just the animals and the plants and the ground is all man has control over. If you remember in the verses we've already read, man doesn't control the weather. Man doesn't control the times of the seasons. We can't control the sun. Artificially, yes. But naturally, no. You know, we can block out the sun with a tent. You know, we can block out the sun with the roof of our house or with sunshades or something like that, but we can't stop the sun. That's beyond man's control. We can't stop the rains. That's beyond man's control. The snow that's supposed to be coming today, later today, there's nothing we can do to stop it. God controls the weather. Man, as we saw last week in Ecclesiastes, God controls everything. Man, even though he has been given dominion over the earth, can only do what God permits, and only in God's time. As simple as that. Only in God's time. If God doesn't want man to do it, he's not going to do it. We know there are going to be things. From our study of Revelation, we know that there's going to be things that are going to come to pass during the tribulation period, like we've never seen in our time. And of course, we won't be here to see it, but things that will happen that have never taken place on this earth before. All because it'll be God's time. Yes, it will be because of man's sin, but it'll be God's time. You know, we wonder why God doesn't bring those things about today. You know, and sometimes we think, well, I wish he would. I wish he'd strike this leader over here dead, you know, just to get rid of our misery, get him out of our misery. But it's not God's time. When it's God's time, those things will happen. So we'll pick back up with this next time. I want to look at some of the parables that Jesus talked about. Maybe if we get time, we'll talk about some of the things that Paul wrote on stewardship. I didn't intend for this to be a series, but I'm going to try to keep it to just two lessons, and we'll pick back up with this next time.